I'm Israel Smith, and this is Simple, Kind Enough, a podcast where I explore what it takes to live a simple life, be kind to ourselves and others, and focus on enough. Let's get started. Welcome back. It's been a while. It's Israel here, your host, and this is a new episode of a new season of my freshly renamed podcast. You may have noticed in the intro, it's now called Simple, Kind Enough, which I've taken on board after a very interesting year full of learnings to become a bit of a mantra of how I want to live my life and the way that I believe us as humans, as a species, we need to perhaps consider adopting some of these philosophies as well. Focus on keeping things simple, focus on keeping our kindness as a priority to others, and just focus on enough. So I thought I'd take a couple of minutes at the beginning of this episode. I do have a really lovely, meaty topic I want to get into, but I just thought I'd share a little about what this all means to me and where it's come from. So if you've been reading my Substack, this will probably be familiar because you've actually seen it in the last few weeks / months of posting. But the deal is this. This year has been a bit of a curveball, pretty challenging one for me on a range of fronts. I did some incredible reading, which I may have spoken about in a previous episode, of books about the end of capitalism and about the growing kind of cluster that we find ourselves in socially, environmentally, economically within Australia and then within the broader world. I've also been reading a lot about systems theory and systems collapse and Indigenous wisdom. And when I say reading, I'm also sort of absorbing podcasts into that. Anyway, I think what I discovered is that I was becoming pretty despondent and pretty depressed about the trajectory of the human species at this point in our lives and in our kind of history. And I was starting to really question what the point of anything was. You know, why should I be trying to grow a coaching business when the world is doomed? Why should I do anything if everything's fucked, basically? And that's not a very easy thing to sit with. It's not a very fun place to be, I'll be honest. But I don't think it's that unusual. I think that perhaps there's a number of you listening. Maybe it's only a small number, maybe it's a large number, but a number of you listening will probably be able to relate to this. You'll be able to relate to this idea that everything seems hard. There's conflicts starting to turn up in places where there's been a relative flavor of peace for quite a while. And by that, I'm talking Middle East and I'm talking Eastern Europe, Russia. There's a real tendency for humans to be veering towards, you know, far right, ultra conservative, potentially fascist kind of political flavors. And there's a lot of kind of exclusionary language and behavior starting to show up in a lot of places. And that sucks. And it's a real pain in my heart that that's what's happening on a broad scale. But what I've also learned as I've been kind of sitting with this, and there's been a lot of uncertainty and a lot of sitting in the muck of it, what I've also learned is that I've only been focusing on one part of the equation, and that even if there is a lot of significant, I don't know, shit going on in the world, there's a lot of good that can be done. There's a lot of hope and a lot of joy and a lot of let's just roll our sleeves up and do our best that can be taken as an approach through this time. And I'm the kind of person who I do waffle around a little bit sometimes when it comes to where I stand on things. I do have very clear, very well documented tendencies towards hopelessness and despair with my past history of depression and also anxiety. It just seems to be a place that's very familiar and comfortable for my brain and my nervous system to go to. But that despair and that hopelessness can be turned around if there's purpose and if there's meaning. And I suppose ultimately what I think I'm really here to say today is that this year has, through, I suppose, the reflection on everything that's going on in the world, has brought me to a very simple, very basic, very rudimentary purpose or meaning that I can grab a hold of. And consequently, that has brought me back to a place of some acceptance of everything that's going on and some sense of comfort and motivation to do some work to make the world a slightly better place in whatever way that I can. And so here we are. And so the message that's come through all of that for me is that more than ever, I need to be showing up to help people. I've needed to go through this kind of evolution and this bit of a breakdown for the breakthrough. And the help that I believe I can offer is just about how we can be our best as humans, how we can regulate our own nervous systems through a variety of simple techniques, but how we can start to reframe how we approach our lives. And that's where Simple Kind Enough really comes in. The piece that I wrote on my Substack to introduce the idea of enough actually harks back to 2011 when I was first diagnosed with depression. It's a story I've covered on the podcast before, so I won't go into the depths of it right now, but the simple version is my wife and I decided to re-engineer our lifestyle and just prioritize in business what you would call breaking even. Just enough. Enough marketing, enough sales, enough money to live a very simple lifestyle in the circumstances and the environment that we were in at the time. And Simple Enough kind of helped me recover, you know. A big part of that at the time was scaling back my photography business and just learning to live with simpler goals and aspirations and learning to get to a place where I could heal and I could feel better. And once I did feel better, then the world started to open up again and I started to stretch a little bit beyond the idea of enough. But in the past 12 months again, I've gone through some real awakenings around this idea of enough once more. And, you know, part of that is at the beginning of this year, my coaching business became very quiet. I had a number of clients finish up and I didn't sign anyone new for quite a while. One of the issues there was that started to send me down a bit of a rabbit hole of frustration and perhaps even resentment, that I began to resent my business because it was causing me stress. It took a lot of the joy of it out. It took a lot of the fun out of it. And I just started becoming a ball of desperate stress, which is no good. But we've still got bills to pay. So I started working as a bus driver, driving school buses part-time, which let me service and support the clients that I had and gave me a degree of stability that I could begin to heal in a very similar way to 2011, heal my own nervous system, my own relationship with myself and my business, and then come back to a bit more of a centered, grounded, balanced place, which is where I am now coming to you. The other main parts of the kind of enough matrix, I suppose, were I was starting to notice there was a real transition happening with my daughter finishing high school. The weather in our area was going from like, I was just going into bushfires and drought kind of mode, which it does from time to time, but I just feel like it's a far more dramatic swing from one side of the fence to the other, from, you know, floods and being underwater to being on fire and dry as. And I was just starting to see in our immediate community and society some of the problems that we are facing. Like even on the school bus that I drive, I was starting to watch the behavior of the kids and starting to interpret from that the kind of upbringing they were having through their home environment and that kind of thing. And so, you know, it started to bring me back to this idea of enough. And to me, I think there's a lot to be said for it. It has four main dimensions for me. The first one is lifestyle, that if we stop chasing more and perhaps focus instead on enough, focus on enough money, enough food, enough hobbies, enough satisfaction and contentment with the things that we have. Obviously, gratitude is a huge part of that. Simplifying is obviously another big part of that. But lifestyle is the first one. The second one is planet. We've just got to live simpler, smaller lives that are less resource hungry so that we can actually live within planetary boundaries. That's a very basic one that I think is becoming more and more readily understood by mainstream media and consequently mainstream people. I also have reached a point of enough is enough, you know, kind of a play on the word there that we think, I think we can do so much better as a species. I think we can be far more inclusive. I think we can look after our most vulnerable far better. I think that we can redistribute wealth and choose policy settings legislatively that create a far, far better social fabric and far less of the gaps between haves and have-nots that we're currently starting to see really show up in a big way. But also enough represents personal individual wholeness, that we are each enough just as we are. And this is a tricky one because this is really tied to like a very deep and unwavering self-love. So that's one that I've really grappled with as I've been through the darkness this year. But I do believe that we are all enough and that we can all start to experience that, however fleetingly. And I believe that brings us more into ourselves. It gives us a more grounded, embodied experience of the world. And it gives us the ability to be better, show up better, do better in our lives. So that's the sort of dimensions of the enough part. Simple, man, simple is a pretty easy one, right? Simple life. Simple goals, simple objectives, simple needs, simple to satisfy. Less plates spinning, less balls in the air being juggled. It just gives us more time and more bandwidth and more headspace to be more calm and more responsive rather than reactive. And that's a huge love of mine in everything that I do with my clients, particularly when it comes to their own personal lives, but definitely when it comes to their businesses as well. Like, okay, what's the simplest path forward? How can we make this simple and easy? How can we make it simple? How can we simplify? And then kindness is really tied very heavily to the idea of being helpful, the idea of serving. So kindness, as defined by, I forget which dictionary exactly, it means to be generous, to be helpful, and to think about other people's feelings. That's what being kind means. And that's a way that when I was at my worst this year and focused purely on my own needs and my own frustrations and my own sort of little small self ego kind of concerns of money and stress and, you know, entitlement and all that, I wasn't being generous and I wasn't being helpful and I wasn't even really thinking about other people's feelings very well. And I've learned that through reflection and through really having that pointed out to me through a great book I was reading. But the thing that is on, I suppose, my mind moving forward is that I want to embrace being helpful as a massive part of who I am and how I show up. And that's why I'm back to podcasting. That's why I've started writing again. I just want this to be a part of how I roll. So simple, kind, enough is now my mantra. That is my flavor. That is what this is called. That's what my Substack kind of emails, blogs, essays are called. And I invite you to consider how that might apply in your life. That's going to be the focus of how we work or how I show up and how I create helpful materials to go out on the internet, because I believe that it's an important piece that we need to truly embrace. Being kind to others, focusing on simplicity and focusing on enough. All right, now, what are we here to talk about apart from simple, kind, enough? I want to talk to you about this idea of compassion and the lens of compassion specifically. So I've been grappling with, I use that phrase probably too much. I've just been reflecting on compassion as an approach to my interpersonal relationships. I have, as I've spoken about in the podcast before, from time to time had challenges with my immediate family and, you know, extended family. And I guess I'm probably the only person ever to have had challenges. I know for those of you in America listening to this, it's just gone through, I think, Thanksgiving last week. So that's a challenging time of year for a lot of people. And we're approaching what is affectionately and accurately termed the silly season when it comes to, you know, the late December, early January holidays of Christmas and New Year and all that kind of stuff. And it's the sort of time of year where we get much closer with our family. There's a lot of societal expectation about how we are supposed to show up in these moments. And it tends to bring tensions to the fore like no other time of year. I'm sure you will agree. And so this piece about the lens of compassion, I think, is particularly relevant at this time of year, but it's also relevant generally, right? We could all be more compassionate in our lives. It's just, it's a no-brainer that we could all probably do a little better at that. But here's how I want to frame this. In our interpersonal relationships, let me give you an example. Say I have an argument with my wife, or I say something and it doesn't get received the way I want it to be received, or maybe I expect something from her that just doesn't get met. You know, I expect her to do something to help me out and she doesn't do it. And this is a very arbitrary example. It's just something I'm making up on the spot. But I want you to think about everything that I described just then has the focus of me. I expected something. I wanted something. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I expected. I've been let down, da 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 da. In tension and conflict in your relationships, in our relationships collectively, this is a frequent kind of frame that we take where we look at it and it's about us. It's about how we have been hurt or slighted or let down or disappointed by somebody else. This is the moment where I want you to start thinking about this phrase, the lens of compassion. What if you were to frame a question for yourself in those moments? In my example with my wife, say, I really wanted something specific for my birthday and I left all sorts of hints about it and, you know, emails and messages about, hey, this would be great for my birthday, and then it doesn't materialize and I don't get given a gift for my birthday that I want. It'd be very easy to get grumpy, angry, frustrated, resentful, spiteful, whatever, because it's all about me and I've been let down and I've been wronged. But what if I took the approach of thinking about this as, well, I don't actually really know what was going on for my wife in the lead up to that. Maybe she was doing her best and she just couldn't figure out how to make that gift work for me. Maybe something else came up that stopped her being able to do that. If we take the humble approach that everybody is simply doing their best, and if we look at our lives and our relationships through this lens of compassion, if we are compassionate to the fact that everyone around us is just doing their best, maybe their best isn't that superb right now, for whatever reason, for reasons we don't know anything about. Maybe that person's best output, their best way of showing up, their best ability to simply get by at the moment is not real strong. They're not at their optimum. Can we bring some kindness to that? Can we actually accept that whatever their best is their best? And maybe we got let down, maybe we got disappointed, but it's not the end of the world, and that we can actually be compassionate to that person. An example might also be, this is one from my life, where I have wanted to stay at a particular family member's house and they say no. And I know that they've got spare bedrooms. I know that they've got the space. But that family member is just, they've just said no. No, I'm sorry, you can't stay here. And so I have to go and hire an Airbnb and pay some money and go through the inconvenience and the stress and the whatever. It'd be so much easier if I could just stay at that person's house. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with them? Why are they being this rude to me? Why can't they see this is what I need for my life to be easy and superb? But then if I look at it through the lens of compassion, then I go, maybe that person is actually really struggling right now and they haven't felt like they can tell me that. But what they can do is just not have people around and say no to my request of staying there. Maybe that is their best. Maybe their best is just to get by, but they need their space. They need no one around. when I use this lens of compassion idea to really look at the different relationships in my life, it's so powerful. It helps so much with bringing me out of my ego, entitlement, selfish mentality and bringing me into a kind and generous mode of operating and thinking about other people's feelings. So there's that word kind and the definition again coming right up to the front, right? So I want to challenge you to think about situations in your life where you felt angry, frustrated, let down, disappointed, where there's been conflict in relationships, where someone hasn't met your expectations and you've been a bit miffed by that. Take a look at that through the lens of compassion. Look at that situation or those circumstances through that lens and just say, right, what if that person is just doing the best they can do? What if that person's best was just to get by that day and they just couldn't bring themselves to do anything beyond that? And whatever it was that's let me down or made me feel disappointed, they couldn't help that because they were just doing their best. Doesn't that feel so much more loving and so much more kind and so much more connecting, I guess? Certainly does for me, and it's been a massive help because it's taken a lot of the sting and a lot of the anger and the other emotion out of certain situations. And as we go into this time of year where there is going to be a lot of closeness to family members that maybe push our buttons and make us feel awkward and uncomfortable or stressed or whatever, try bringing the lens of compassion to those relationships. And bonus points, try bringing the lens of compassion to yourself. Is this the best that I can do today? Is this all I've got in the tank right now? And that's okay. I hope that helps. The lens of compassion has been so, so useful and has really made me feel a much deeper sense of peace over the last 6 or 7 months since I've recorded these podcasts. And I really believe that those three words, simple, kind, enough, if we can embody those in all aspects of our lives, it can bring these compassionate moments far closer, far more quickly. How to live a simple life, how to be kind to ourselves and others, and how to focus on enough. That is my new philosophy, my flavor, what have you. If that's helpful to you, please let me know. Shoot me a comment on the Substack post or reply via email or send me an audio message through Spotify or the podcast app that you're using, whatever it ends up being. I would love to hear from you. I would love to know how these messages land. Until my next episode, I look forward to hearing from you, but more than anything, I'm just excited to be able to show up and be of service and be helpful for you again. So wherever you are in the world, have an amazing day. I'm sending you lots of love, lots of gratitude, and I will see you next episode.